We're going to jump into the new year, and I want to sort of challenge you this year a little bit. And so just thinking about the whole challenge of what is coming up in 2021 and what God wants us to do and what God wants us to be, we're going to start off with something funny because we're going to need it before this day is over, all right? So perhaps you've heard the story of the woman who, after a long illness, died and arrived at the gates of heaven. She looked through the gates, she saw the streets of gold and the beautiful banquet tables, and her friends were there, and so many of her relatives were rejoicing around the table. What a wonderful place, she thought. She looked at St. Peter, and she said, "How do I get in?" And St. Peter said, "Well, you have to spell a word." She said, "What's the word?" And he said, "The word love." She said, "L-O-V-E." He said, "Come on in." She was ushered in to heaven. So St. Peter asked the woman, after she'd been there a while, to watch the gate one day as he took care of something else. And it just so happened that her husband arrived that day. She said, "I'm just shocked that you're here. How have you been?" And he said, "Well, I've been doing great since you died." It's a bad way to start a reunion, I'm going to tell you. "I married the beautiful young nurse who took care of you when you were sick. And then I won the lottery. I sold the little house you and I lived in, and I bought a big house. My new young wife and I have traveled all over the world. We were on vacation today when I was skiing, and I fell, hit my head, and I ended up here. How do I get in?" She said, "You have to spell a word." He said, "What's the word?" She said, "Numino ultramicroscopic silicovonic..." I can't even finish the word. Oh, listen, there's some things you shouldn't gloat about, all right, when somebody's got the upper hand on you. All right, we're gonna talk this morning about fasting, and we all get super excited when we talk about fasting, right? No, we don't. And there's a reason for that, because we're going to lose something we love. We love mealtime. We love snack time. We love when nobody's watching and we're eating time. We just love food. And listen, food is what gives us nourishment. We know that. Without food, we die. And fasting is going against our nature so that we can commit ourselves to God. Now, when I was a young Christian, I would hear the word fasting, and I would think hunger strike, as if I'm going to not eat, and I'm going to tie God's hands, and he's going to have to do exactly what I tell him to do, because I did the fasting thing. That is not what fasting is all about. That's very legalistic. And first of all, God does not work for you and me. Fasting is about getting you and me ready for what God wants to do. Now, God is moved by our fasting, no doubt about it. God is working in our fasting. But when we try to tie God's hands or force him to do something, that's not fasting. That becomes arrogance very quickly. "I'm doing this, God, and I'm so good. I'm doing such a good job that you have to do what I'm asking." No, God doesn't work like that. Now, the Bible tells us sometimes we don't receive what we're asking for because we're asking for the wrong stuff. The King James Version says you're asking amiss. You're missing the target. You're not asking for the right thing. So as we're talking about fasting, I just want us to keep in the back of our mind that God is using these moments, these days of fasting, to turn us into the people he wants us to be and help us start to rely on him in a whole different way. I'm saying to God when I fast, "Lord, I would rather have you than the food that gives me energy today." Now listen, pizza is good, all right? We got some leftover pizza in the refrigerator today, okay? We're fasting. We start fasting tomorrow. I'm going to eat every slice of pizza in the refrigerator tonight, all right, just before the strike of midnight. No, I'm not going to do that. But we all understand that. I have in the past just loaded up, you know, we're starting in 5 minutes kind of thing, which is a bad idea. It's a horrible idea to start a fast like that. when we're fasting, God has some things in the Bible. He tells us about fasting. And then there's just some practical stuff that we need to remember as we go into fasting, okay? So today, we're just going to take today and talk about fasting and what this fasting and prayer thing is all about. Next Sunday, we're going to start a brand new series on Matthew. We're going to study the book of Matthew during 2021, all right? And so we're just going to go scripture to scripture all the way through the year talking about the book of Matthew. This week, we're just going to look at fasting. So, you should have your handout with you, and it's going to be on the screen too. The reasons we fast, it is not to make you feel better. All right, you've seen the Snickers commercials, right? Where you get hangry real quick. You're going to have to be careful, all right, around other people. You can't be biting people's heads off when you're hungry and fasting, all right? It's got to raise you to a new level, but it's not easy. So one of the ways we do that, and one of the ways we control where our emotions are trying to take us, is we remember what God is doing in our fasting. So the first reason we fast is to invite God's help. God wants to work in our lives, and sometimes God only works when we are fasting and praying. Now, Paul and Barnabas prayed and fasted for the elders of the churches before committing it to them, okay? The Bible says, Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church with prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So it's inviting God's help in. I want to ask this question. Anybody have a problem that you can't handle right now? Got any problems in your life that are bigger than you? If you don't, we'd all like to get some lessons later, all right? Everybody in the room has problems that are bigger than our abilities. We know that. So here, the scripture is teaching us to invite God's help in. And one of the ways we do that is through prayer and fasting. Now, we understand prayer. We get it. We understand. We kneel down, we pray, we walk around, we pray, we recite the Lord's Prayer, we pray. We understand praying. But when we add the intensity of fasting to that, something special happens. I can't explain what happens in the spiritual world when we do these things together, but throughout Scripture, prayer and fasting are together. They're to be done together. Now, you've been praying. You've been praying for years. The question is now, what happens when we put prayer and fasting together? God's going to work on us. God's going to work on us, and He's also going to work in our circumstances. So we invite God's help. Here's the second thing. To seek deliverance or protection. Ezra chapter 8 says, "And there by the Ahava Canal, I gave orders for all of us to fast and humble ourselves before our God. We prayed that He would give us a safe journey and protect us, our children, and our goods as we traveled. So we fasted and earnestly prayed that our God would take care of us, and He heard our prayer." Now, this is when Ezra was declaring a corporate fast. All the Israelites, as they were about to head out on this 900-mile journey from Jerusalem to Babylon, he understood, this is bigger than us. We need God's help. We're going to need deliverance. We're going to need protection. Let's invite God in. Is there any area of your life right now where you need deliverance in? Is there any area of your life right now that you need protection in? Is there a member of your family that needs deliverance right now? Is there a member of your family that needs protection? You can't protect them, and you're trusting God to protect them when you want what is best for them, but you can't make their decisions for them. Prayer and fasting is a part of that journey to say, Lord, I got to be okay with me. I can't fix this. I can't control everything. It was a 900-mile journey from Jerusalem to Babylon. I wish I could control it, Lord. I can't. But I know You can go with every one of these people that I love, and You can help them. So who is it in your life right now? And I want to ask that question. I just want to just give you a second. Maybe it's your own personal life. Maybe it's a child, maybe one of your son or daughter or husband or wife or whoever. It fits into that category that they need deliverance and they need protection right now because you can't do it. You can't do it. All right, here's number three, to repent. Sometimes we use prayer and fasting to repent. It's not a big word in our society, all right? Our society, our world is kind of telling us, if do whatever you want to do, live any way you want to live, it's up to you as long as you're not hurting anybody. That is totally contrary to God's word and God's will. God gives us very pointed instructions about how we are supposed to live our lives here on earth. When we break those commandments of God, repentance is needed. We've said it before around here. Repentance is just a 180. It's an about face. I was heading in the wrong direction. I recognized it through the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I turned around, headed in the opposite direction. Repentance does not happen because I feel bad about what I did. Repentance is me making an about face and changing my behavior and taking myself, leading myself toward God rather than away from God. So Jonah, in chapter 3, verse 5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. Remember, Jonah was telling them, you need to repent. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. In verse 10, when God saw that they had done what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. When they fasted and they prayed, when they said, Lord, we understand our ways are not good. So I'm just going to throw this out there. Are there areas of my life or your life right now where we need to say, Lord, I've been wrong and I know I've been contrary to your word, and I've wanted to be the king of my own life and I've tried to do it my own way. I understand this is not your way and not your will, and I'm ready to unload that. I'm ready to repent of that. I'm ready for you to forgive me of that. I'm ready to make that about face, and I need your help to repent. Here's number 4, to ask for help with battles. Can we just stop right here and say, is anybody in a battle? You got a battle going on in your life right now? If you don't, I can share some, all right? I got a few I could get your help with. Most of us at this moment are in some sort of battle in our lives. Maybe it's a battle on the inside. We're struggling with ourselves. We're struggling with our own bitterness or our own anger or our own guilt, or we're struggling with our own inconsistencies or failures. It's on the inside. Maybe it's on the outside. Maybe there's a struggle going on in our lives. Now, the Bible says this, that we can't see our enemies. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. Our enemies are the principalities and powers of the air. There's a spiritual battle going on. Now, the world would tell us you're crazy. Well, I believe God's word. I believe that God's word shows us that there is a battle going on for you and for me, for your family and my family. We cannot do this on our own. We need God's help. So if we are fighting a battle we can't see, if I told you, you have to protect your family this afternoon, there are going to be some bad people coming to your house or your apartment, and they're coming in to hurt your family. You have to protect them. You would say, I'm there. What if I said to you, and I'm going to blindfold you too? You would say, I'm going to fight. I'm not just going to give up because I'm blindfolded, but I'm probably going to lose because I don't know where the bad guys are. If I cannot see the enemy of my soul, the enemy of my family, because it's going on in the spiritual realm, I have to use weapons that are spiritual. I can't just decide to do better if these are spiritual battles. There are times when I have to ask for God's help. Judges 20:26 says, then all the Israelites went up to Bethel and wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. Now, this was after 40,000 men had died in 2 days of battle. The Israelites realized they were fighting a battle they could not win. They were blindfolded. They said, we've got to do something. So what did they do? They went and fasted until evening. Now, I love this scripture because they didn't fast all the way through the battle, because that would have been crazy. They fasted until evening because they got to fight tomorrow. They needed their strength later. But immediately they said, we're praying, we're fasting, we're inviting God into this battle. Let's stop just a second. They fasted that day. They just immediately went, this is not working. 2 days of running into brick walls with our heads. We've lost 40,000 of our men in 2 days. We have to change our strategy. So here's the question this morning. Have you been running into the brick wall? You've been losing the battle and wondering why? it might be time to slow down a minute and say, let me invite God into this battle through fasting and prayer, and let's see what God will do. Well, they went on and won this battle because they had invited God into their battle. So what is the battle in your life and mine that we need to invite God into? Fasting and prayer is when we open the door, saying, God, come in. I've fought it as long as I can fight it. I can't do this by myself. I want you to be a part of this. Here's number five. Sometimes we fast because we want to worship God. Luke chapter 2 says this, then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night worshiping God with fasting and prayer. This is a lady named Anna. She was devoted to God, and fasting was one of her expressions of worship. To just say, Lord, I want to be here. I want to put you first. I'm going to deny myself, and I'm going to put you first. I'm going to honor you in this. Maybe if your worship experience hasn't been what you want it to be, maybe if you haven't connected to God the way you want to connect to God, fasting might be that next logical step to say, Lord, I'm ready. I want to take my spiritual life to the next level. I want to do this the way you want it done. I want to serve you with my whole heart. I don't want to do this my way. I want to do this your way. Fasting is when we say this, Lord, I've tried all the natural stuff. I've tried all the human stuff. I've put all the human ability to work, and it's just not enough, so I'm going to do something that's crazy. Anytime, go home and Google fasting, the first thing that's going to come up is something about your health. You can do some intermittent fasting and it's good for you. Okay, we'll go with that. Way down the list, it's going to start to talk about the spiritual aspects of fasting. See, we think of everything in the natural sense. This is going to be good for my body, and it is. We know that. Science has proven that out. But there's more to it. We have this tendency to just want to think in human terms. And the Bible says this, my ways, God said this, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God is wanting us to say, Lord, I want to worship you. I want to connect with you. I want to be on a spiritual plane that I haven't been in the past. Here's number six, to prepare myself for God's work. Is there anything God wants you to do this year? 2021, is there anything God wants you to do in 2021? Or is God just going to give you 2021 off? Is God just going to say, you know what, you just look tired. I'm just going to give you some time off. Now the Bible tells us he does that. So it's legitimate, but is it God's desire to use you in 2021? If it is, if you say, yes, I want God to use me, I want God to do something with my life, then this is the time to fast and pray, right here at the beginning of the year. Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness fasting before he was going to do some amazing stuff. Luke chapter 4 says this, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. I love, this is one of the understatements of the century right here. Jesus ate nothing all the time, 40 days, and became very hungry. Jesus didn't eat for 40 days, and he was hungry. There was a physical side to this. He was feeling. He wasn't just on some spiritual spot where it was just easy, and it's not easy. It's not easy. But look what happens, verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly throughout the whole region. He was working miracles and doing amazing stuff. You can go back and read it later. If God wants to use you, and God wants to use me, then we've got to be surrendered to his plan and to his will. We got to do this thing his way. Fasting is a part of that. So on a very practical note, let's flip your page over. On a very practical note, what if I have health concerns? All right. Can we just say this in a as concisely as possible. If you have health issues where fasting would be a problem, see your doctor and do this in a healthy manner. Let your doctor help guide you through this, all right? Don't just jump off into something that you're not sure about. Can children fast? Well, we know that small children should not fast. Maybe there is a way to incorporate your older children into this, but don't expect them to go a day without food, all right? You talk about hangry, you're going to be hangry at them and they're going to be hangry at you. And it's just wrong to make that child go without food. They don't even know what they're doing, okay? So maybe there is a way to help them fast. Maybe it's a Daniel fast. Maybe we're going to skip cookies today to start teaching and training our children. So you can read about that later. Fasting plus prayer. Fasting and prayer together are the dynamic duo. That's where the magic is. That's where the power is when we fast and we pray. If you go home and you just say, I'm going to fast for 5 days, you're just going to be hungry. All right? Fasting and prayer. We have to connect with God. We've got to talk to God. Prayer is where God changes us too. Prayer is the place where we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. We know God works in answer to our prayer. When we put these together, something special happens. So don't just go home and say, I'm just not going to eat. I'm just going to try to watch Netflix for 24 hours while I fast. Don't do that. Don't do that. Spend some time in prayer. And then there's fasting and abstinence, all right? Abstinence is giving up something. Let's say you give up Netflix. Maybe you are a Netflix-aholic, all right? Maybe you love. I'm gonna hurt some people here. Maybe coffee is just the thing. I know we're talking about addictions now. All right. Now the Bible talks about giving up other things. That's not fasting. Fasting is food. Okay. All right. Coffee would be a food item. But if you're giving up something you love, if you're giving up TV, let's say, then that would be abstinence. And that's good, and that's honorable to say, I'm going to give that up for a time to just focus in on my relationship with God. Fasting is about food. So if you say, I got a health issue and I can't really fast right now, maybe an abstinence thing is the way you go with this. Maybe you say, Lord, I can't give up food because of health issues, but I can give up this or that for a time and let God work in your life that way. All right, and here's some ways to fast. There's an absolute fast, which means absolutely no food or water. Listen, don't do this more than a little while, all right? You can give up food for quite a while, but you can only give up water for a little while, and then we're going to all be coming to a funeral, and then it's ugly, and then I got to explain stuff. Don't do that. Don't do that. Go to the next one, a normal fast, no food and water only. All right, some of you are like, I hate water, then this is going to be perfect, all right? You're going to learn a lot this week, this month. No food and water only. You can do that for quite a long time. You might not enjoy every minute of it, but you can do that physically for quite a long time. Then there's a Daniel fast. We know the story of Daniel in the Old Testament. He didn't eat the king's meat. He didn't eat the sweets that were produced, and he just ate fruits and vegetables, and he became stronger than all the other people that were eating all the rich foods of Babylon. And so it might be that you go on a Daniel fast. Maybe you say, I'm only going to have fruits and vegetables, all right? Now, I remember when I was trying to be legalistic about fasting years ago, and I was like, well, potato chips are potatoes, and tortillas are corn. No, that's not the way it works. All right, we're talking about unprocessed foods, okay? You're going to gain so much weight during this fast if you eat potato chips and tortillas. Don't do that, all right? So we understand fruits and vegetables. Make a pot of beans. It's great. All right. You can't drop the ham hock in it that I like. All right. You can't do that. And so you can figure out what works for you there. All right. So that's a Daniel fast. And there's a partial fast. This could mean fasting certain meals of the day or abstaining from certain kinds of food. Okay. So a partial fast could be a kind of a combination platter, if you will. If you are going to have a partial fast today, you might say, I'm going to fast lunch. I'm going to eat breakfast, and then I'm going to fast lunch, and I'm going to eat dinner. All right? That's legitimate. It's a partial fast, all right? Or you might say, I'm just not going to have, coffee. I'm not going to have coffee, all right? I'm not going to have coffee during 3 weeks, okay? Whatever that looks like. So it's a time thing. I'm not going to sit down and eat during this time, or I'm not going to eat this particular food. It's a partial fast. Maybe you're going to do a combination. Maybe you say, one day I'm going to fast all day, and the next day I'm going to Daniel fast. Maybe I'm going to Daniel fast for lunch and breakfast and lunch, and then I'm going to have a regular dinner at night. You have to figure it out. Here's the deal. There is no guilt. Give up the guilt. Guilt is a tool that Satan uses to keep us away from God. At the end of the page, it says something like this. If you mess up, if you drive by Dairy Queen and you just couldn't help yourself, or maybe you just cooperated with yourself and just went right on in and just, those hunger busters, man. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. You mess up and you say, now I feel guilty. I'm just not even going to do it. I'll just pick it up next year when they do this at church. Don't do that. Don't let the guilt. You may eat everything in the refrigerator one day and you can still fast tomorrow. It's okay. There is no guilt. God is not trying to guilt you into having a close relationship with Him. That is not what God wants. God wants an intimate relationship with you where you are committed to Him. And when you mess up, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, and I don't even think it's a sin to break a fast, okay? If you say, I'm not going to eat anything until January the 25th, and then, you are heading home today and you just end up at Dairy Queen, all right? It's okay. It's okay. No guilt. Start over. If you've never fasted, baby steps. Can I be real honest with you? Fasting is horrible for me. I just love food. All you people who say, well, I was working so hard today, I forgot lunch. I don't even know what you're talking about. I forgot to eat lunch? Crazy. It's weird. Fasting is not easy. It's not easy. But it's worth it. All right? So the partial fast, and then there's the Jewish fasting period. Jewish tradition was they would not eat after 6 p.m. today until 6 p.m. tomorrow. So they would do 24 hours of fasting, but they would listen, they're eating up to 5:59 today. Then they don't eat for 24 hours and 1 minute. And then at 6:01 tomorrow or whatever, they're eating dinner. All right? So maybe that works for you. Maybe you say, I'm going to do a 24-hour period, then I'm going to skip 24 hours, and then I'm going to fast for another 24-hour period. That's okay. That's okay. I want you to approach this as you are talking to your loving Heavenly Father, not some tyrant that is forcing you to do something. God is not twisting your arm. Listen, I'm going to let you in on a secret. If you don't fast during this 21 days, you can still go to heaven. That's the truth. But if you knew the results of what God was going to do. Now, one of my mistakes early on in my Christian walk was I thought that while I'm fasting, God is just going to be working miracles. I found out that I usually recognize the benefits of fasting after the fasting is done and I'm back to normal. It's not happening while it's going on. Jesus was dealing with the temptation of Satan as he's fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. It was not easy. It was a battle. It was a battle. But when he finishes the fasting and he's working the miracles and he's doing all these great things, the benefits started to show up. So don't for 1 minute think that if it's difficult, it must not be God. Or if you mess up, I can't start back. Let God, give God some room to work. Give God some room to work, and He will. I believe one of the reasons that fasting is so difficult is that Satan understands the benefits of fasting even better than the church understands. I think Satan is scared to death of fasting and prayer in combination. So when you are, listen, when you are fasting, that celery that goes bad in the refrigerator, every week you buy it and you're like, I'm going to start making myself shakes every morning, vegetable shakes. And then you look at them and the celery's brown because you hate it. Tomorrow morning when you start fasting, that celery's going to look delicious. It's going to be like, if I could just have some celery. I don't even need salt, just celery. I think it's a spiritual thing. It's physical for sure, but I think it's spiritual as well. And God's going to work. God's going to work. Every single day, God's going to work in your life and mine. We just got to cooperate with Him and let Him have His way in our lives. So fasting is focusing on God. It's intense focus on God. Lord, I want to focus on You. I want to give 2021 to You. I want to give my family to You. I want to give my life to You. I want to give my job, my business, my home. I just want to give it to You, Lord. Satan does not like that stuff. Satan wants you to be carrying the burden all by yourself and answering your problems with human thought and human strength and human ability. He does not want you inviting the hand of God into your life. So as we fast and pray over the next few weeks, every morning on Facebook, there's going to be a message from me or somebody else that will say something like, here's a scripture to encourage you today, and here is the area that we are focusing our prayer and fasting on today. It'll be family. It'll be health. It'll be Grace Point Church. It'll be a million different things. Not a million. It'll be 21 different things throughout this three-week period. And then in the evenings, there'll be a follow-up post that you can click on, and it'll take you back to the video if you need a little bit of encouragement during that time, and just to say, I want to do this, but I need some help. I need some encouragement. I want God to work. So those posts will start tomorrow morning at Grace Point Facebook. And I encourage you to just take a look at that when you get a chance. And I believe God's going to do something. I believe God's going to work. I believe God's going to answer. We are working on putting together prayer meetings, all right? There's been some issues with the whole COVID thing, all right? I'd love to just invite everybody in here and let's just have a prayer meeting. We're working on ways we can do that because we want to gather. When Ezra, we just read the scripture where he called a corporate fast, and they were in this thing together. We're in it together. We're hoping to try to work out some ways that we can join in prayer over the next few weeks, and you'll find that on Facebook as well. So I encourage you to check that out. All right. Now, don't be like the lady, a great friend of mine who is in heaven today. He was a big, he believed in fasting and prayer with all of his heart. He would fast for weeks on end. But he said, every now and then, I just need a milkshake. And so he was explaining this to somebody one time. It's one of those, don't guilt things, all right? And he was explaining to this lady, she's like, I've never fasted more than a meal or two meals or whatever. And he said, look, I was fasting 14 days, and on day 5, I got a milkshake, all right? I just did it. And she took that to mean you can have milkshakes while you're fasting. And she came back to him later, and she said, I gained 8 pounds last week when I was fasting, all right? So we understand this is not going to be easy. Fasting is hard. Get somebody else. You don't have to, you don't stand up on the mountaintop and scream, I'm fasting, look at me, I'm so spiritual. You find a prayer partner and you say, I want you to pray for me. I'll pray for you. Because I'm probably going to mess this up if I don't have some help. And we're going to do this together. We're going to do it together. All right? And I believe God's going to work. I believe God's going to answer. Amen? Stand with me if you would, everybody. I want us to take just a minute. We're just going to say, Lord, I want to surrender it to you. I want to surrender my life to you this year. Maybe you just never had a relationship with God, and you're saying, now's my time to start. I know. I've been doing this on my own. I need a Savior. I'm ready to let go of my past and move into the future that God has for me. Maybe you're at that point and you say, Lord, I repent of my sins in the past, and I know that you are the Savior, and I accept you as my Savior. I encourage you to pray that prayer this morning. Or maybe you're just at a point where you just say, I'm just not finding what I want in my relationship with God. I'm just not finding the peace and the joy. I'm not finding the fulfillment that I want. And Lord, I want to commit my life on a different level to let you have your way in my life. And I believe God's going to do it this year. We're going to pray this right now. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Lord, if there's anybody listening this morning that says, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm ready to start, I pray, Lord, that you just help them to just see you and sense you just welcoming them with open arms, Lord. Lord, if there's sin that needs to be repented of, Lord, help them with that. And Lord, as they're committing their life to you as their Savior, just pray that you just wrap your arms around them today and let this journey start, Lord, that where you are working in their life like they never thought before. Lord, if there's, for everybody who is saying, I want to take my spiritual life to the next level. My spiritual life is good. It might even be great, but I want to take it to the next level. I don't want to just sit here stuck in the same spot. I want to move forward. Today, Lord, we're asking for your help. We're asking for peace and encouragement during this three-week journey. Lord, we need your help. We need your help. We stand on your promises, on your word. We receive your help. And God, we pray that above everything, that your will would be done in our lives as we fast and pray together. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's